Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acreage, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson. And I'm joined each week by my youth co-host to talk about some books. But we weren't able to get together this week, so I've dug up a throwback episode for you all to enjoy. And it's from the early days of Bound by Books and WGXC. This episode of the show pre-being named Bound by Books, that finally became Bound by Books, was first broadcast on May 16th, 2011. And it was with me and my co-host Quinn Gunter, who is from Haines Falls. And we eventually became Bound by Books. But for a while, we were a youth radio show with no name, trying to figure out a name. And this was an episode where we were considering one very strange name. And it was just the next month when we became Bound by Books, just a couple weeks later. But I hope you enjoy this episode, this throwback to 2011. And I think we made the right choice with our name, but you can let us know what you think. Enjoy.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to WGXC Youth Radio Show on 90.7 FM. Acra, Catskill, and Huston, listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties. I'm Quinn. I'm from Haines Falls. I'm 10 years old.
And I'm Emily. I'm from Hudson, and I'm the Youth Programs Coordinator here at WGXC.
Today, we're going to talk about a subject that's kind of hard that we've been thinking about is a name for our show. Mm-hmm. And we've been, on the first day of our show, we were looking at Grimm's Fairy Tales, and we found one, and it was called Donkey Cabbages.
Which we thought was a very funny name.
Mm-hmm. And we liked it so much that we thought maybe this could be our name, but we're still not sure.
In part because we both haven't read it together yet.
Mm-hmm.
We've read parts of it together. Mm-hmm. And I think we've read parts of it separately, but we haven't gotten together to actually read it together and decide if this should be our name. And since it's such a bizarre fairy tale, we thought we would maybe read it today.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Quinn?
I think we should read it, and then we should decide if it should be our name or shouldn't be our name.
Mm-hmm. And when you first heard that there was a story called Donkey Cabbages, did you have any idea what it would be about?
Not really.
Me either. I did not think there would be donkeys in the story. I thought it was going to be some kind of cabbage.
Oh, yeah.
That was
yeah,
just called Donkey
Cabbage.
Thought.
That's what I thought as well, now as I think of it.
But it turns out the story has both donkeys and cabbages.
Mm-hmm. And I think people turn into donkeys, as I believe.
Maybe. We'll have to see.
We'll have to find out.
Okay, here it is, Donkey Cabbages from the Brothers Grimm.
Shall I start reading? There was once a young huntsman who went into the forest to lie and wait. He had a fresh and joyous heart, and as he was going
thither,
whistling upon a leaf, an ugly old crone came up who spoke to him and said, "Good day, dear huntsman. Truly you are merry and contented, but I am suffering from hunger and thirst. Do give me an alms." The huntsman took pity on the poor old creature, felt in his pocket, and gave her what he could afford.
He was then about to go further, but the old woman stopped him and said, "Listen, dear huntsman, to what I tell you. I will make you a present in return for your good heart. Go on your way now, but in a little while you will come to a tree, whereon 9 birds are sitting, which have a cloak in their claws, and are fighting for it. Take your gun and shoot into the midst of them. They will let the cloak fall down to you, but one of the birds will be hurt and will drop down dead. Carry away the cloak. It is a wishing cloak. When you throw it over your shoulders, you only have to wish to be in a certain place, and you will be there, in the twinkling of an eye. Take out the heart of the dead bird and swallow it whole. And every morning early when you get up, you will find a gold piece under your pillow." The huntsman thanked the wise woman and thought to himself, "Those are fine things that she has promised me, if all does but come true." And verily, when he had walked about 100 paces,
He heard in the branches above him such a screaming and twittering that he looked up and saw there a swarm of birds who were tearing a piece of cloak, or a piece of cloth about with their beaks and claws, and tugging and fighting as if each wanted to have it all to himself. "Well," said the huntsman, "this is amazing. It has really come to pass, just as the old crone foretold." And he took the gun from his shoulder, aimed and fired right into the midst of them, so that the feathers flew about. The birds instantly took to flight with loud outcries, but one dropped down dead, and the cloak fell at the same time. Then the huntsman did as the old woman had directed him, cut open the bird, sought the heart, swallowed it down, and took the cloak home with him. Gross!
Next morning when he awoke, the promise occurred to him. He wished to see if it also had been fulfilled. When he lifted up the pillow, the gold piece shone in its eyes. The next day, he found another, and so it went on, every time he got up. He gathered together a heap of gold, but last he thought, "Of what use is all my gold to me if I stay at home? I will go forth and see the world."
He then took leave of his parents, buckled on his huntsman's pouch and gun, and went out into the world. It came to pass that one day he traveled through a dense forest, and when he came to the end of it, in the plain before him stood a fine castle. An old woman was standing with a wonderfully beautiful maiden looking out of one of the windows. The old woman, however, was a witch, and said to the maiden, "There comes one out of the forest who has a wonderful treasure in his body. We must filch it from him, daughter of my heart. It is more suitable for us than for him. He has a bird's heart about him, by means of which a gold piece lies every morning under his pillow." She told her what she was to do to get it, and what part she had to play, and finally threatened her and said with angry eyes, "And if you do not attend to what I say, it will be the worse for you." Now when the huntsman came nearer, he noticed the maiden and said to himself, "I have traveled about for such a long time, I will take a rest for once and enter that beautiful castle. I have certainly money enough." Nevertheless, the real reason was that he had caught sight of the beautiful picture.
He entered the house and was well received and courteously entertained. Before long, he was so much in love with the young witch that he had no longer thought of anything else, and only saw things as she saw them, and liked to do what she desired. The old woman then said, "Now we must have the bird's heart. He will never miss it." She brewed a potion, and when it was ready, poured it into a goblet and gave it to the maiden, who was to present it to the huntsman. She did so, saying, "Now, my dearest, drink to me."
So he took the goblet, and when he had swallowed the draught, he brought up the heart of the bird. The girl had to take it away secretly and swallow it herself, for the old woman would have it so. Thenceforward, he found no more gold under his pillow, but it lay instead under that of the maiden, from whence the old woman fetched it away every morning. But he was so much in love and so befooled that he thought of nothing else but of passing time with the girl.
Then the old witch said, "We have the bird's heart, but we may also take the wishing cloak away from him." The girl answered, "We will leave him that. He has lost his wealth." The old woman was angry and said, "Such a mantle is a wonderful thing, and is seldom to be found in this world. I must and will have it." She gave the girl several blows and said if she did not obey, it should fare ill with her. So she did the old woman's bidding, placed herself at the window, and looked into the distant countries as she was very sorrowful. The huntsman asked, "Why do you stand there so sorrowfully?" "Ah, my beloved," was her answer, "on yonder lies the Garant Mountain where the precious stones grow. I long for them so much that when I think of them, I feel quite sad, but who can get them? Only the birds. They fly and can reach them, but a man never. Have you nothing else of complaint of?" said the huntsman. "I will soon remove that burden from your heart." With that he drew under his mantle, wished himself on Garant Mountain, and in a twinkling eye they were sitting on it together. Precious stones were glistening on every side, so that it was a joy to see them, and together they gathered the finest, costliest of them.
Now the old woman had, through her sorceries, contrived that the eyes of the huntsman should become heavy. He said to the maiden, "We will sit down and rest a while. I am so tired that I can no longer stand on my feet." Then they sat down, and he laid his head in her lap and fell asleep. When he was asleep, she unfastened the mantle from his shoulders and wrapped herself in it, picked up the garnets and stones, and wished herself back at home with them.
But when the huntsman had slept his fill and awoke, and perceived that his sweetheart had betrayed him and left him alone on the wild mountain, he said, "Oh, what treachery there is to the world," and sat down there in trouble and sorrow, not knowing what to do. But the mountain belonged to some wild and monstrous giant who dwelt thereon and lived their lives there. So he had not sat long before he saw three of them coming towards him. So he lay down as if he were sunk in a deep sleep.
Then the giants came up, and the first kicked him with his foot and said, "What sort of an earthworm is this, lying here contemplating his inside?" The second said, "Step upon him and kill him." But the third said, contemptuously, "That would indeed be worth your while. Just let him live. He cannot remain here. And when he climbs higher toward the summit of the mountain, the clouds will lay hold of him and bear him away." So saying, they passed by. But the huntsman had paid heed to their words, and as soon as they were gone, he rose and climbed up to the summit of the mountain, and when he had sat there a while, a cloud floated towards him, caught him up, carried him away, and traveled about for a long time in the heavens. Then it sank lower and let itself down on a great cabbage garden, girt round by walls, so that he came softly on the ground, on cabbages and vegetables.
Finally!
The cabbages!
Then the huntsman looked about him and said, "If I had but something to eat, I am so hungry, and to proceed on my way from here it will be difficult. I see here neither apples nor pears nor any sort of fruit, everywhere nothing but cabbages." But at length he thought, "At a pinch I can eat some of the leaves. They do not taste particularly good, but they will refresh me." With that he picked him up some fine head of cabbage, ate it, but scarcely had to swallow a couple of mouthfuls than he felt very strange and quite different.
Four legs grew on him, a thick head and two long ears, and he saw with horror that he was changed into a donkey. Still, as his hunger increased every minute, and as the juicy leaves were suitable to his present nature, he went on eating with great zest. At last he arrived at a different kind of cabbage. But as soon as he had swallowed it, he again felt a change, and resumed his former human shape.
Then the huntsman lay down and slept off his...
words. Fatigue.
Fatigue. When he awoke next morning, he broke off one of the heads of the bad cabbages, and another of the good ones, and thought to himself, "This shall help me get on my own again, and punish treachery."
You said punish.
And punish treachery.
Yay.
Then he took the cabbages with them, climbed over the wall, and went forth to look for the castle of his sweetheart. After wandering about for a couple of days, he was lucky enough to find it again. He dyed his face brown, so that his own mother would not have to know him, and begged for shelter. "I am so tired again," he said.
He is tired again.
He said that I can go no further. The witch asked, "Who are you, countryman, and what is your business?" "I am a king's messenger, and what sent out to seek the most delicious salad which grows beneath the sun. I have ever been so fortunate as to find it, and I am carrying it about with me. But the heat of the sun is so intense that the delicate cabbage threatens to wither, and I do not know if I can carry it any further."
When the old woman heard of the exquisite salad, she was greedy and said, "Dear countryman, let me just try this wonderful salad." "Why not?" answered he. "I have brought two heads with me and will give you one of them." And he opened his pouch and handed her the bad cabbage. The witch suspected nothing amiss, and her mouth watered so for this new dish that she herself went into the kitchen and dressed it. When it was prepared, she could not wait until it was set on the table, but took a couple of leaves at once and put them in her mouth. But hardly had she swallowed them than she was deprived of her human shape, and she ran out into the courtyard in the form of a donkey.
Presently, the maid servant entered the kitchen and saw the salad standing there ready prepared, and was about to carry it up, but on the way, according to habit, she seized by the desire to taste, and she ate a couple of leaves. Instantly, the magic power showed itself, and she likewise became a donkey, and ran out to the old woman, and the dish of salad fell on the ground.
In the meantime, the messenger sat beside the beautiful girl, and as no one came with the salad, and she also was longing for it, she said, "I don't know what has become of the salad." The huntsman thought, "The salad must have already taken effect," and said, "I will go to the kitchen and inquire about it." As he went down, he saw the two donkeys running about in the courtyard. The salad, however, was lying on the ground. "All right," he said. The two have taken their potion, and he picked up the other leaves, laid them on the dish, and carried them to the maiden. "I bring you the delicate food myself," said he, "in order that you may not have to wait longer." Then she ate of it, and was, like the others, immediately deprived of her human form, and ran out into the courtyard in the shape of a donkey.
After the huntsman had washed his face, so that the transformed ones could recognize him, he went down into the courtyard and said, "Now you shall receive him." "Receive the wages of your treachery," and bound them together, all three with one rope, and drove them along until he came to a mill. He knocked at the window. The miller put out his head and asked what he wanted. He said, "I have three unmanageable beasts," he answered, "which I don't want to keep any longer. Will you take them in and give them food and stable room, and manage them as I tell you? And then I will pay you what you ask." The miller said, "Why not? But how am I to manage them?" The huntsman then said he was going to give three beatings and one meal daily to the old donkey, and that was the witch. One and one beating and three meals to the younger one, which was the servant girl, and to the youngest, which was the maiden, no beatings and three meals, for he could not bring himself to have the maiden beaten. After that, he went back into the castle and found therein everything he needed.
After a couple of days, the miller came and said he must inform him that the old donkey, which had received three beatings and only one meal daily, was dead. "The two others," he continued, "are certainly not dead and are fed three times daily, but they are so sad that they cannot last much longer." The huntsman was moved to pity, put away his anger, and told the miller to drive them back again to him. And when they came, he gave them some of the good salad, so that they became human again. The beautiful girl fell on her knees before him and said, "Ah, my beloved, forgive me for the evil I have done you. My mother drove me to it. It was done against my will, for I love you dearly. Your wishing cloak hangs in a cupboard, and as for the bird's heart, I will take a vomiting potion." But he thought otherwise and said, "Keep it. It is all the same, for I will take you for my true wife." So the wedding was celebrated, and they lived happily together until their death.
The end.
The end. I like the last line of this one, because you can read it like, so the wedding was celebrated and they lived happily together until their death. You know, it's really upbeat. You know, it's mm-hmm. happily ever after. Or you can say, so the wedding was celebrated and they lived happily ever after, or happily together until their death. Like, you can make it really grim.
Well,
so what do you think?
The only annoying thing about it is that nobody told what happened to the servant girl after she got the salad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their stories are not very often told. Sad, right? Do you think she was okay?
I think she was okay. I mean, she went back into a human again, and it was perfectly fine. Mm. But
But yeah, nobody seems to care about her. It's funny that they put her in the story at all.
Well, they wanted three, you know.
But why?
Three donkeys.
Because three is a nice number. Yeah. That's interesting, too. There's always a mean mother figure in these stories.
Always. I was reading one today. No, yesterday. I was reading Ferris.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that the bad guy was the stepmother.
Yep, that happens a lot in those stories. There's also, I just saw Tangled recently.
You did?
The Rapunzel movie.
Mm, yeah.
And that has her real mother's very nice, apparently, but...
Do you meet her?
The one that steals her away. Not so nice. You do meet her. I mean, you don't really get to know her, but she always is like, looks like a nice person. They definitely don't make her out to be anything but nice. So that'd be my guess.
You know, like... I haven't seen Tangled.
No?
But I'm trying to explain the story to a 4-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And she's only seen the Tangled version. And I try to tell her the real version, but it doesn't make sense to her. Because she's only seen the one. So I can't tell her the real story.
Yeah, it's different.
She's seen the movie.
I hadn't read Rapunzel in a while, but I read it... I hadn't read it in a while, and then I read it maybe a month or two ago when it was the Grimm's birthday, when we did our first show, mm-hmm. when we talked about Grimm. And I didn't remember a lot of the details of the story. Like, I didn't... Apparently, when the prince has been visiting her in the tower, and they get married and are, like, having babies...
They are?
Yeah, this was left out of some of my stories. So I read a version where she gets pregnant and... is, like, banished from the tower. And then the prince goes up into the tower to meet her, and the witch is there. And then she, like, pushes him out of the tower, and he goes blind. And he's wandering around blind.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know that one. Yeah.
And then he finds her with the, like, two little babies. And then, because they had twins.
Well, yeah, yeah. I remember, the only part I remember is how it's really funny. There's one that is... I think there's one, I might be mistaken, no, there was one that was Rocky and Bullwinkle, and in that one, somebody blindfolds him, so he's running around bumping into trees, and then he comes back to the castle, he's the princess. But.
Well, well, that's interesting. So, the question is, do we name our show Donkey Cabbages or not? What do you think, Quinn?
What do you think?
What I like about it... Oh, I like donkeys and I like cabbages. Mm-hmm. And I like the term Donkey Cabbages.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of these Grimm's fairy tales that nobody really ever hears.
Yep.
And that part of the reason that nobody ever hears them is that they're as bizarre as this story.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it for that reason. But it's not my favorite story, so it seems funny to name a show after it.
I know, but it's...
But I would do it if you want to.
All of those things. Do you think we should read a few more Grimm fairy tales before we choose Donkey Cabbages?
Maybe we should think about it a little longer. We have time.
Get a few other people's votes to see.
Yeah, let us know what you think. Donkey Cabbages or no Donkey Cabbages? It's a very important question in this day and age. All right, well, that story is so long and has so many scenes that we're actually out of time already.
Whoa.
Can you believe it?
Whoa.
Flies by.
Flies by.
But thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you a lot.
We'll be back here next Monday. Again, it's Quinn on the mic over here.
Yep.
Over there.
Yep.
And I'm Emily.
Thank you.
Are potentially donkey cabbages.
Absolutely. Well... Alleged donkey cabbages.
The alleged donkey cabbages. Yeah, we hope you have a good week.
I hope so.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you all.
change the lines up your slip.